You know, I'm not a guy who makes a lot of bets, but I'm going to bet you today that there are lots of chocolates given and received on this Valentine's Day. And, you know, I think it's kind of fun to know about where it comes from and how it's made. And we have an expert, Gail Ambrosius, with us back again, owner of Gail Ambrosius Chocolatier in Madison, and talk with her about the rich flavors of chocolate, where they come from, why heirloom cacao, is it?
Yep, it's cacao.
Cacao is in trouble. And certainly answer your questions about chocolate. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. Maybe you have a photo of a chocolate creation you made. I'd love to see that on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Share it with us right there. And Gail, welcome back. It's great to have
Hi.
You with us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Tell you what, tell us first about your business. It's a wonderful.
Oh, I
love
thank
that
you.
Shop.
Yeah, so we're going on our 13th year.
Yeah,
it's pretty exciting. We're on Atwood Avenue, and
in
we've
Madison.
Got a plan for moving directly
across the street
in the spring, hopefully in May. Okay. It'll be almost twice as big as our current space, so it'll allow us more room to just spread out a little bit. We won't be as crowded. Make more goodies for you, and we're planning to have a moving parade.
So, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, why rent a truck? It's directly across the street. So we're hoping all our happy customers will come and join us, grab something, we'll move it across the street and have a party afterward.
Oh, you're going to have to let me know when that is.
I'll let you know.
Since I'm about at least a five-minute walk.
Right, you're my neighbor.
The neighbor. Well, for those of us who may not know, how do we get chocolate?
Oh, gosh. Well, chocolate grows on a tree. It's called a cacao tree. And on the tree are pods called cacao pods, and in the pods are beans called cacao beans. And there's maybe 25 to 40 beans in each pod, depending on the size and variety of the tree. Those beans are pulled out of the pod. They're first fermented, then they're dried in the sun, and then they're crushed, and then it becomes chocolate liquor. And then sugar is added, and it's mixed, you know, so you get the nice, fine, smoothie, creamy mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it becomes chocolate.
And it sits out in the sun, as you say.
It sits out in the sun to dry. The fermenting is really key. It's all the wet beans, because the beans are covered in this white sugary pulp. It looks really slimy and gross at first.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all piled in this box. And the trees only grow 20 degrees north and south of the equator. So it's a very tropical plant. It needs a lot of rainfall, hot, humid weather. But that fermentation, that those sugars break down in that slimy pulp and create the flavor inside of the bean. If that step isn't done properly, you're not going to have fine flavored chocolate.
Well, you just attended Fine Chocolate Industry Association meeting in San Francisco, I believe.
That's right.
And that the group is working to support the heirloom cacao preservation effort.
Right, right.
And tell us more about that.
Well, the FCIA, or the Fine Chocolate Industry Association, we celebrated our 10th year, started with 10 members, and now we're over 300. Mm-hmm. So it's a group of people that are chocolate makers, chocolate producers, people in the industry, press, etc., and just chocolate lovers. And we're all there to support fine flavored chocolate and really promote that. And part of that is the Heirloom Cacao Project. So what that means is there are a lot of varieties of trees out there that are heirlooms, like tomatoes or apples or whatever. And we're testing them, testing the genetics and testing the flavor based on some certain criteria to determine, okay, should this be saved and, you know, should it be propagated? Because it's easy to propagate those heirloom varieties once you identify them. You can take a cutting and you can graft those cuttings onto other rootstock and create that tree. So much like apples are grafted, same thing. So it's a way to preserve that. So you're getting really, you know, we're producing fine flavored chocolate instead of kind of a mass produced, you know, just
plain old,
you know, everyday variety.
The ones with
the high productivity. You know, you don't want to sacrifice flavor for just high yields and high productivity.
And is that the difference of the taste of a chocolate that comes from these plants, or some of them at least?
Well, the tastes are so unique and unusual. At this meeting, we tasted three new varieties. One was from Belize, one was from Vietnam, and one from Nicaragua. All tasted completely different, but one was really fruity, one was very chocolate tasting. I mean, that sounds kind of redundant, but it had real cocoa notes to it, almost like eating a fudge brownie. Just delicious. Yeah, I know. It was horrible to have to go through this. And then the third was just, you know, a kind of a nutty, smooth, creamy, just delicious flavor.
Okay. And these are grown by farmers?
Yes, small family farmers. The one from Belize was actually in the middle of a preserve, a forest preserve. And the people working there discovered that there were these almost wild cacao trees, because nobody's really tending them.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to submit them for this project, and it turned out they're dynamite. So now they're hoping to create a small farm to really promote this. Because as we know, chocolate is growing in popularity. Everybody's worried about a chocolate shortage. So, you know, it's a great thing to identify these fine-flavored chocolate trees and really propagate those.
And then so the association, and probably in many ways, tries to help
the farmers. Right. And once the farmers are certified, they can now get a premium for their chocolate. And that recognition is going to help them sell more as well.
Yeah. And you have spent a fair amount of time, if I'm not mistaken, visiting farms, small farms, and tell us about that.
Oh, well, I'm a lucky person, and a little pushy too, I guess, because when I meet some of these people, I'll ask about, well, where is your farm? And, oh, by the way, could I come and visit sometime? And, you know, the farmers are more than happy to welcome you to their farm and very proud to show you what they're doing. And, you know, if you're using chocolate that comes from their beans, I mean, they just beam, and you bring something back that you've made from their chocolate, and
oh my goodness,
you know, they're giving you chichas. Chicha's a homemade beverage, alcoholic beverage by these farmers. But you become fast friends, and you know, it's just an honor to meet them and to thank them for what they do.
And when you say small, What are
pretty
we
small, 2 to 12 acres. You know, most of the farmers are also growing other crops, mangoes, papayas, corn, beans.
So we're talking about, and there are, how many are there out there? Do we have idea how many there are in existence?
I don't have a number for you, but the rough estimate is 80% of the cacao farmers are small family farms.
Wow.
Yeah.
How much chocolate do we produce in the course of a year?
Oh, that's another good statistic that I'm not sure of. But I know that it's growing. The specialty chocolate market has grown by 21% in the last year. So that would be, you know, the fine flavored, you know, dark chocolate is kind of really growing very rapidly. And I would say, you know, that's the kind of market. There's a lot of great chocolatiers in Madison. You know, we would fall into that category.
Yeah, and just right around in the Madison area.
It's amazing. We're so lucky to have so many great people making chocolate.
Gail Ambrosius, our guest, do you have a question about chocolate or maybe an experience to share? I'd love to. That'd be kind of fun to talk about Valentine's experiences and chocolate. That would be fun, either whether you give it or receive it. Love to hear that story, too. Give a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. Let's talk about different kinds of chocolate. You know, you talked about dark chocolate.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my understanding is that dark chocolates can be quite good for you, too.
Oh, yes. You know, lots of people are talking about health benefits now. And that's a big trend in the industry right now. People are trying to get foods that are kind of better for you, good for you. Some people, I'm sure it's a way to kind of justify their sweet tooth. But really, dark chocolate does have a lot of health benefits. You know, I'm not a doctor, so don't quote me on this. But, you know, there are studies that say it's good for your heart. It can lower your blood pressure. It's a mild antidepressant. You know, it definitely makes people feel happy.
Makes me feel happy.
Yeah. Some people have said it actually helped them lose weight. Because they'll eat one dark chocolate a day rather than indulging in their other sugar cravings.
You know, I've heard stories about chocolate. There are some, let's say, mass-produced chocolates that are actually designed to make you want to eat
more.
More.
Well, you know, if they're loaded with sugar... You know, by eating, when you eat a lot of sugar, you know, and processed foods, it's going to want to make you eat more. You know, that's kind of the way they're designed. So, you know, if you eat a big sugary candy bar, you're going to want to eat another one. But in many cases, I know for myself, if I eat just one nice dark piece of chocolate, that's satisfying to me, and I really don't need any more.
I was thinking about that, too, because a good piece of chocolate... You almost don't want to eat more than...
Right. You want to savor that.
You savor it, and if you eat too much... And I've done this. I have to say, even with some good chocolates, I thought, well, that was so good, I'm going to have another one. And
right.
I might have a third one, and then I'm thinking, why did I do that?
Yeah, because you're kind of just wasting... You're almost wasting the moment. Because really, when you eat a fine chocolate, you know, that's a special occasion, and... You should take your time and, you know, eat it slowly and really enjoy it.
I want you to talk about your experiences and how you got to be where you are, because your background is really kind of cool.
Well, thank you.
Oh, man. And I don't know that we're going to have enough time to do that right now, because we're going to be taking a break here. So let's take that break and then we'll come back. And I tell you, Gail has got a really cool story about how she got into this business. Gail Ambrosius, our guest today, she owns Gail Ambrosius Chocolatier in Madison. And we'll be visiting with her more about her chocolates, how she got involved in it. And I hope you'll call in with your questions, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Back with Gail right after the news. Are you out looking for chocolates today? Are you looking forward to some chocolate today? Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're talking about chocolate with our guest, Gail Ambrosius. She is the owner of Gail Ambrosius Chocolatier in Madison. And what would you like to know about growing cacao? What do you love about a good piece of chocolate? Maybe what beverage do you like to drink when you're eating great chocolate? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. And hey, if you got a chocolate photo, I'd love to see that up on our Facebook page, something that you've made. And if you've got an experience to share around chocolate, aside from a question, please feel free to join in. 800-642-1234. Give a call. And callers online... And we'll take a call in a minute. I want to go to an email that Vicki sent us. She's heard that in some cases, let's go to Mary first in Pewaukee, called to say that she has heard that chocolate can have lead and cadmium because of the soil it's grown in, and wonders, is this true? Should we all be concerned about it?
You know, it's always good to be concerned, you know, if you hear things like that, but... the soil in certain areas where it's grown can have lead and cadmium naturally occurring in the soil. You know, a small amount of that could get into the tree and therefore into the beans, the pods. But the chocolate makers are testing their chocolate. So, you know, I know there was an issue a few years back. There was a story about lead in chocolate. That was all recalled. And I think standards have gotten a lot tighter since then.
So not something that... I guess if you worry, if
it's a huge concern, I'd worry about it. I'm not concerned. I get certificates of quality from my manufacturers, and I see all the components of it in my certificates of quality. Yeah. So I'm not concerned about it in my chocolate. No.
Yeah. And in terms of quality, what makes quality?
That's a great question, because taste is so subjective. You know, we all have different palates. But there are certain components that you don't want, definitely. If a bean is over-fermented, or the lot of it, and you create a batch of chocolate from over-fermented beans, it's going to taste like rotten fruit. Some beans can show up at a chocolate factory. Maybe they haven't been dried properly. Yeah. They could be moldy, So there are definite defects. They could be smoky. Hammy is another defect. Oh. So when we do these taste panels, for instance, at this conference I was at, there are specific criteria that you judge a chocolate on. So you're looking for, the aroma, you're looking for any of those defects. And typically, there's a certain amount of bitterness or acidity, but you don't want that to overwhelm the overall flavor. It needs to be a balanced flavor. Hmm.
Well, let's go to Camille in Monona for a question. Camille, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. First of all, happy Valentine's Day.
To you as well.
Gail, your business has got to be really busy on Valentine's Day.
We are busy, Camille. Nice to hear from you.
Oh, well, my question is, I keep my chocolate sort of under lock and key because I have a little Cavalier Spaniel, and I've heard that you should keep chocolate away from dogs.
Yes.
And I wonder if you knew any more about why that is.
Well, I believe it's the theobromine in the chocolate that dogs can have trouble with. We should have asked Patricia this question earlier.
I'm an hour late.
Yeah, but it's typically the smaller dogs because they can't process it. I know that I've had a lot of customers over the years, especially around Christmas, say, oh, my dog got into the box of chocolates under the tree. Well, did the dog throw up? Usually the dogs will throw up if they're having a problem with it, but a lot of the bigger dogs will just eat it and they're not going to have a problem. I think it's the smaller ones you need to worry about. So, yes, keep your chocolate to yourself.
Okay.
Good advice. Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Vicki emailed to say that she's heard that in some cases children are used kind of as slave labor to pick cacao for chocolate. Can you speak to that?
That is something that is of a concern. It typically happens in the African countries in the Côte d'Ivoire area. The Côte d'Ivoire area of Africa tends to be where a lot of the maybe larger, bigger corporations can get their chocolate. Unfortunately, they're very poor countries. They don't have good infrastructure. They don't even have... great water most of the time. And yes, I've heard that children are used in labor of the chocolate in that area. For that reason, I don't buy African chocolate from that part of the world. I do use some Madagascar chocolate, but that's, an island on the other side of Africa.
Yeah.
So I just try to stay away from that. I did go to a seminar maybe 2 years ago in Amsterdam. And there were several farmers from those countries. And it's a sad story because they're very poor and, they're looking to the bigger producers for help. And that is starting to happen. Barry Callebaut, which is a huge producer of chocolate, about 60% of the world's market share of chocolate is made by this company. And they have a very concerted effort right now to educate the farmers in better farming techniques, to keep the kids out of the fields and really help them with some of these other issues that they're grappling with. So it's getting better, and people are aware of it.
Oh, but there's still a ways to go.
There's still a ways to go, and, you know, it's a huge effort. I mean, anytime you have a country that's that poor, you know, with perhaps a corrupt government and no infrastructure, there are going to be problems.
Let's turn to Eric in Janesville next. Eric, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Well, I'm a big fan of your show from the gardening aspect, so my question comes from that. At what point does the cocoa, is it a tree? Or
yes,
a bush?
It's a tree.
At what point does it does it smell like chocolate? No. If I wanted to grow one indoors, is it the pods? Is it after the fermentation? You know,
At
what point does it become chocolate? Smell
yeah,
like?
Great question. Well, after the fermentation, definitely, because when it's fermenting, it smells like dirty gym socks. it would be when the beans start drying in the sun and when they start really drying. So after the sun drying, there's another drying step where warm air is blown underneath the beans to make sure they're completely dry. That's when you first start getting that chocolate aroma. And then right before they're processed to turn into chocolate, they're toasted, like roasted, like coffee is roasted.
Yeah.
And then it really smells like chocolate. It's just wonderful.
Not from sweaty gym socks to
from sweaty gym socks to fine chocolate.
How they overcame that.
I know.
It's amazing, isn't it? You wonder who the first person to figure all this out.
Yeah, how did they come up with it? I don't know. It's a mystery to me.
And chocolate goes back a long...
long, long way.
Long, long way. Thank you, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate the call. Just before the news, I said we were going to go into your history a little bit. We should do that before I forget.
Okay.
And so you got started... You took a trip to France.
Uh-huh. In 2003, I believe.
And what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I took a trip, I went way back, 1977, actually, when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And that's when I really discovered the little chocolate shops in Paris and how people really took the time to enjoy chocolate and seeing the smiles on their face and their eyes rolling back in their head. That's when the light bulb went off for me, and I thought, oh boy, if I could ever do that and have that effect on people, that would be the best job ever. So I never kind of gave that up, but I did take other routes along the way. So I became a cartographer for the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And then during layoffs in 2003, I lost my job. And that's when I said, okay, I'm going for that chocolate career now. And I did. I went back to France, took some classes, and then took business classes and opened my shop in 2004.
And been going strong ever since, and now expanding.
Yeah, going strong, yeah.
And you were telling me off air a little about the building itself, and it was really interesting to me, the temperature businesses.
Yeah,
there.
So in our new building, we're going to be on two levels. The street level will have our retail space and a small upstairs kitchen, but the main kitchen will be on the lower level because chocolate is very sensitive to heat. And certain parts of our operation, you know, our equipment can generate a lot of heat. So you want to keep that separate from where you're storing the chocolates because the chocolates like to be stored at a cooler temperature. 60 degrees is perfect. So we'll have a brand new chocolate cave on each level.
So a cool place for the...
60 degrees all the time and 50% relative humidity.
And probably the aroma of chocolate wafting out of the building.
We'll be like the Pied Piper pulling people in.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that one for sure. Yeah. You know, somebody emailed in to say, might climate change increase the growable area for chocolate? and that's from two listeners in Cottage Grove who are eating your caramel.
Oh, nice.
Right now.
Oh, lucky you. Well, that's interesting, you know, with climate change. It could creep up, you know, a little bit further than that 20 degrees north or south. You know, it is being grown in Hawaii now, and that's just slightly above 20 degrees, I believe.
I would think the soil conditions would...
Soil matters, you know, amount of rainfall, the nighttime temperature, you know, it all plays a role, and that can also influence the flavor as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Now, has Hawaii been producing chocolate?
For the last 30 or 40 years.
Yeah, so it's been a little bit. So I haven't had, I can't remember taste, if I knew I was eating any Hawaiian chocolate or not.
Yeah, and it's kind of grown in popularity. I've heard that you can get little cacao trees at the farmer's markets in Hawaii, and a lot of people are just, grabbing them and planting them. And some people are concerned because they're saying, well, you know, is that a good tree? Is that going to be a good flavor tree, or is it just going to be, you know, one of these average, vigorous producers, but it doesn't really taste great?
And you have to go through the, I mean, once you've got the tree, then you have to go through the process of, I mean, how many people are going to
process.
You know, you have to pick the
You pick the pods, ferment, dry, you know, on and on.
And then there's that slushy, smelly, sock smelling part that I wouldn't, most people aren't going to really like a whole lot.
I
wouldn't think. Well, I just finished a piece of your chocolate, and it is divine.
Thank you.
Tell us about, we've got the dark chocolate, you've got, how do you get white chocolate? What are the processes that go along?
Well, for white chocolate, it's just the cocoa butter. So in the cocoa beans, it's kind of like a nut. So there's nut meats and nut oils. The oil is the cocoa butter. So roughly 45% of the bean is cocoa butter. And under the heat and the pressure of grinding the beans, the cocoa butter is released. So when you have that, it's called cocoa liquor, just the crushed roasted beans.
Yeah.
So you can actually put this in a hydraulic press and literally squeeze out the cocoa butter. And then you're left with this mass of dark chocolate that you can then pulverize and dry, and that's cocoa powder.
Okay.
But if you pull off that cocoa butter and you add sugar and milk, you have white chocolate. So that's why it can still be called chocolate, because it's actually part of the bean, but it's just the fat.
Okay, so if it's not part of the bean, you can't call it chocolate.
I wouldn't.
Yeah. And what do you think about the flavor of white chocolate versus...
You know, there are better white chocolates. It's getting better. You can get some good white chocolate. I mean, it's definitely sweeter, and you need that palate for it. You know, mm-hmm. I prefer the darker chocolates myself, but, you know, every now and then a white chocolate is kind of fun. We make a white chocolate strawberry bar, so we add vanilla bean to it. So mm-hmm. I think that vanilla bean can help cut some of the sweetness, add a little more flavor, and then the dried strawberries kind of give it a bright pop.
Let's go to Don in Eau Claire now. Don, hello. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you. In the back of my mind, I have the story that somehow cacao was introduced to Spaniards mixed with hot chilies and the like from the Aztecs, thereby into Europe. And I was wondering how the introduction of that into Spain and the introduction into France of cacao, whether they occurred at different times and different points in time or under different circumstances or what.
Mm. Yeah. Well, when Cortez came poking around in the New World, he discovered the Aztecs, you know, they were actually using the beans as currency. And he saw some natives jump out of a canoe to rescue beans that had fallen out. And then he was inquiring, and he realized that it was used as money. So he gathered some of the beans, took them back to Spain. He was sailing for the Queen of Spain. And he had the bright idea he was going to start a money plantation. It didn't quite work out, but, you know, they took the beans, ground them with some sugar and chilies, cinnamon typically, almonds, and made a kind of a rough beverage out of it. And then there was a marriage from one of the Spanish royalty to the French royalty. And when the Spanish, I think it was a woman, had to go to France to marry you know, they,
whoever.
Yeah, whoever. She brought the chocolate with her, and, you know, and then the French caught on. So, yeah, people just kept falling in love with it.
It's amazing.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Louise shared a link on our Facebook page to a Michael Pollan documentary about cacao that shows how it's fermented.
Oh, nice.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
With your chocolates, one of the things I really kind of like about getting chocolates from you is that I don't know very much about anything, to be perfectly honest, but chocolates for sure. And it's so nice that you have... with every box that you sell, you have the flavors that you...
Yeah, it's a little menu.
A menu of things, and so you can look at them and kind of know what you're eating.
Yeah, yeah.
I like... Do you get a lot of good...
It is. It's fun. I've had customers come in and have made a parlor game out of it. They do extemporaneous readings from our flavor menu.
Do you cook a lot with chocolate? Do you?
I do. I like...
What do you like to cook with chocolate?
Brownies, for one. I have a really good brownie recipe.
Oh, I bet.
I like making different chocolate beverages. So if I'm having company and, you know, I didn't have time to bake, I can make just a nice little cup of hot chocolate, almost like a shot of espresso for the end of the meal. And that's really special.
I know, but being in your store, you sometimes have that
hot chocolate in the winter time.
Yeah,
we usually have free samples of hot chocolate.
Which is really a wonderful treat. And you can tell people how to make that, too.
Oh, sure. Well, we just take we sell the bags of chocolate, the hot chocolate, and it's just our 70% Colombian chocolate. That is, you know, it's ground, and we just melt the chocolate with a little bit of water to make a paste, and then we add the milk to it and warm it up.
Oh, it's really, really...
I like about 2 ounces of chocolate at least in a cup of hot chocolate.
It is really good. Well, you said earlier, and I think this is kind of cool, too, that there are a number of chocolatiers in the Madison area, and I expect probably in other areas, Milwaukee,
and surrounding areas. Yeah, in the lower half of the state, I'd say. I don't know.
There must be a dozen. Do people often come to you, or?
Sometimes, yeah. There's a gal I can't think. I think it's called Coco Va. She is an attorney, and she came in. Oh, I don't know, maybe a year ago when we sat down and chatted. And you know, it's great. I love talking to other people about chocolate. Megan Heil of Madison Chocolate Company, she's a good friend of mine. She's going to be opening a brick-and-mortar store soon in Madison. She's been doing chocolate shares, CSAs.
That'd be a tough CSA.
I know, wouldn't it?
Once a month or
so? Yeah, exactly.
What are you working... You know, you have such a range of varieties.
Uh-huh.
Are you working on anything new and exciting that you're working in?
Well, there's a new company that we've been working with. It's called Mezzo Cacao, and they're trying to really promote chocolate from Central America. So we have their El Salvador chocolate right now, and we use that in our bittersweet chocolate bar. It's an 80% chocolate bar. But we've had from them also Honduran and Nicaraguan chocolate.
So, and when you're talking about that percentage, you get up that high, that's
the good stuff.
That's the really
good. For health benefits, right?
Yeah, for really good chocolate, 75-80%.
Yeah, that's more intense. You'll have the depth of flavor. You know, it'll have less sugar because the percentage means, you know, 80% is pure beans, you know, just the ground beans, just the chocolate.
Nothing else.
Right, and the other 20% is the cane sugar.
Yeah, or whatever else you're mixing in.
Right.
The peppers or whatever.
Well, it's the sugar, really.
Well, you're being honest about it anyway, Gail.
Yeah, and that's how the chocolate maker produces it. You know, it's not like we're adding any extra sugar. It comes that way.
Gail, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're going to be, I know you're a busy gal. Thanks so much on this day of all days to come and talk with us, because I know your business is booming.
Yeah, you're welcome. Now I'll have to get back to work, I guess.
Gail Ambrosius. She owns Gail Ambrosius Chocolatier here in Madison. She's a wonderful chocolatier, and it's always great to talk with her about chocolates. We get around, and I'll tell you what, eating her chocolates is also a great thing, too. Tomorrow, Phil Pelletieri comes back to talk with us about the world of insects. In the meantime, happy Valentine's, and stay with us.